Today's Monday, February the 12th, and I just had a word that I wanted to share today, some things that were running through my mind about the topic of depression and anxiety. I saw a news article last night about pastors and stuff that are dealing with depression and anxiety and, you know, all of these things, and I was just, you know, one of the things that that helped me when I was in deep depression and was Jesus Christ. He spared me and he pulled me out of darkness and he pulled me into light a couple years ago. And I was, you know, reborn in Christ, baptized, water baptism, everything. And one of the things that I'm concerned about with the diagnosis of depression and anxiety is when people give you a diagnosis and a doctor looks at you and says, you have clinical depression, you are depressed. Right away, when you receive that kind of a verbal diagnosis, you can do one of two things. You can either, you know, reject it. I don't receive that. You know, I don't think that I'm, you know, depressed. I think that maybe this is a nutritional imbalance. Maybe this is just, you know, because of my life position, whatever. You can either reject it or you can receive it. And when you receive it and you say, you're right, yes, I'm clinically sick, and then you say, I am, and then you say depressed or anxious or I suffer from panic disorder or whatever it is, you're coming into agreement and you're receiving that for yourself. You're saying, yes, I'm sick, and you're receiving that for yourself. And one of the things that concerns me the most is, you know, throughout my own struggles with depression and stuff, I did a lot of research. And there were a lot of loose ends that I just didn't really see. Like, why is it that, you know, you go to a psychiatrist and, you know, they don't, not all of them, and I'm not speaking on all of them, but sometimes you'll go and they won't perform any type of medical check. Like, they won't do a legal required medical assessment by a physician first, right? To make sure that no possible medical sickness could be causing you to be depressed, right? Maybe you're not getting enough sleep because, you know, you have large tonsils and you need to get your tonsils removed. Maybe there's some medical reason that's, you know, igniting this depression. Right? They don't clear that off first, right? And then the most important concept is they don't do a nutritional evaluation. They don't do any nutritional evaluation, as if nutrition has no factor in how you feel in your body, if you're not getting the right foods, if you're eating just, you know, complete junk all the time, if you're not drinking enough water. They say, I think if it's what, 2 weeks or more of prolonged symptoms, then they clinically can diagnose you with depression and they'll give you pills. And then we talk about the pills, right? The pills with all of these side effects, right? And yet some of the side effects can cause suicide. They can cause other behavioral issues. They can cause other things. There's lawsuits. And really, a lot of the research studies, if you do your research, are actually conducted by the same pharmaceutical companies that are trying to sell the medications. And then they're given to the FDA their research that they conducted themselves, and they are approved and marketed. So really, when you and really these medications, they just need to be show a significant, you know, increase. Like, they need to show that they can work. They can, you could give someone a sugar pill, and if you market it and you advertise it and you show it off, and you can give somebody a sugar pill and say, this is the most potent, happy pill you could possibly take on the market. And just by making the person believe, right, that this pill is going to make them feel better, it actually will, you know, to some degree, make them feel better. And so I just want to bring that to your attention that, you know, there is no legal requirement for them to even do a nutritional screen. I mean, if you eat horribly, you know, that a vitamin D deficiency can lead you to making you feel depressed, you know, and they don't do those screenings. So I just wanted to just put that out there. And then also, you know, the neuropathic community, they have this concept called adrenal fatigue, right? And if you have adrenal fatigue, and I'm not a doctor, I'm just saying this is the research that I found. If you're under a lot of prolonged stress, if you have trauma, whatever, you can get what they call adrenal fatigue, and it's basically your body is reacting to all the distress, and you mimic symptoms, psychiatric symptoms, so you might not feel good, and you can restore it through proper nutrition and herbs and stuff to support your body to rebuild itself and function properly. So what I'm saying is when you say, when you go to one of these doctors and they say you're depressed, and you receive this diagnosis, you're receiving that as if, you know, you're coming into agreement with that, right? And one of the things that, you know, that a verse in the Bible that I like is Romans chapter 4, verse 17, which says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as they were." This doesn't mean, you know, that we have some, that we can change, you know, our destiny, or we can change things with our words. You know, God's in complete control. But I think that what I like about this verse is, like, when you're sick, if you say, and you come into agreement and you say, "I am depressed," you're coming into agreement with that. And it could, you know, make you feel worse. If you say, even if you are depressed and you say, "I am well, I am well, I am well," no matter what, you verbalize, and you can tell someone if you feel down or whatever, but I mean, it verbally stating, "I am well, I am well, I am well," it's not coming into agreement with that diagnosis. It's not coming into agreement with you're sick. I think that with, you know, a lot of times depression, I think, is built around how we think, right? And, you know, we can put ourselves into a pity party and pity ourselves, right? And when we pity ourselves, we can catch depression, right? Because if you dwell in things that, you know, you can't change, and you dwell in your fears, and you dwell in things, it's going to make you feel sad. It's going to make you feel anxious. And that's what the most beautiful and most powerful thing about the Bible is that Jesus tells us, don't be anxious. And you read these biblical verses, and there's power and there's life in them. You know, when you're feeling anxious, you can use a internet search engine, and you can say King James or Bible verses on anxiety, King James version, or whatever version you particularly choose. I like King James version, and it will come up all the scriptures about anxiety and worry, and you read them out loud to yourself, and the word of God is so powerful that it will make you comforted. You know, it will make you feel like, you know, when you build a relationship with God, you give your anxieties to God, right? And you read those words when you feel like, "I'm feeling nervous or anxiety, feeling anxious," you can read the word of God out loud, and it brings you power and comfort. You know, if you're financially struggling and you look up Bible verses and do a Google search or a search engine and say Bible verses on God providing, and you read those words aloud and you build that relationship. When you're feeling depressed, you know, I think coveting can make us depressed, right? Being ungrateful can make us depressed. You know, if you're coveting, and we live in a very materialistic society, if you're coveting, you know, "I'm not happy with what I have, I need that better job, I'm not happy, you know, I need a bigger house, or I need, you know, this car," if you're coveting, which God tells us not to do, right, you're gonna get depressed, because you're thinking everybody else is, you know, doing better than you. We can think ourselves depressed, and the Bible teaches us how to walk away from that. Suffering, right? You know, a lot of people get depressed because we're suffering. We're silently suffering. Life is suffering, whether you're rich or poor. Whether, you know, you serve Jesus or you serve Satan, even those Hollywood movie stars who've sold their souls to Satan, they suffer. They overdose. They kill themselves, right? You know, it's the same with, you know, with Christians. We are to share in Christ's sufferings. We are to suffer with him, like it says in Romans, so that we can be, Romans 8, so that we can be glorified with him. So when we change our perception of how we view our personal suffering, and we get biblical about it, and we look at it differently, and we change that, it is so imperative, because when we learn that, you know, everybody on Facebook, you know, with, you know, flashing their pictures, you know, it's not the whole story. No one's really flashing around their personal suffering. Nobody's really talking about it. And even if you have all the money and, you know, you're an elite, they suffer too. We all suffer. There's no way to escape suffering. And it's how we change our mind. It's how we change our attitude. It's how we learn to be grateful in the moment. And even when we're suffering, you know, the Lord can send you grace, and He can send you peace, and He sends joy. And you can find, you know, a moment where you can share in a laugh, you know, with your family member, even in a tough situation, okay? And it's all really surrounded by how we think. Yes, people get depressed. Yes, there's depression. Yes, definitely. I'm not saying that, you know, we should be running from depression. If you're depressed, you're depressed, right? You don't feel good, right? But what I'm saying is there's a lot of contributors that are often overlooked, right? Like your nutrition. What have you been eating for the past 2 weeks, right? Like, you know, are you getting the right vitamin supplementation, right? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you dehydrated? They don't do a check. They don't make you get a clearance by a nutritional specialist before they give you, you know, depression meds, maybe in some practices, but I had never experienced one, right? They don't do a medical clearance to make sure that it's not something medically wrong with you before they give you these meds. This is based off symptoms alone, okay? They are diagnosing you off of symptoms alone. And if you don't legally check off the nutritional symptoms, you know, the nutritional possible contributors, you know, and other contributors, medical contributors, then how do you really know? They don't. And you're taking medication with tons of side effects that really, really, I mean, how many people since they introduced Prozac in the 80s really, really got well? I mean, how many people do you personally know that, you know, took these medications and, you know, they're thriving and productive and happy, you know, or are they still depressed? I mean, only you can answer that question. I just posed it, right? But really what I'm saying is, and I'm not saying that, you know, there's not a time for antidepressants. I'm not saying that. I don't really know. I really think that it's nutritional, and I think it's the way that we think, and I think that, you know, you can walk through it, and the Bible teaches us how to do that. Jesus never told us in the Bible, you know, that we're supposed to, you know, come into agreement with all of this, and we're supposed to, you know, He didn't throw around pills in the Bible like Skittles and say, this is going to be the solution to your problems, right? But He gave us teachings. He gave us biblical affirmations. He gave us spiritual truths and knowledge. He gave us all of those things. And He did say that, you know, that Satan comes to kill, to steal, to destroy, and that that He came that we may have life and live it more abundantly. He gave us tools. He gave us biblical verses. And I'm not saying that whole thing is, you know, a flock. I'm just saying I really think that people need to consider the nutritional component. It's so important, okay? It's so important. I feel it's strong. It's super important. And the adrenal fatigue concept, the medical community doesn't accept that concept. Well, last I saw when I researched it, because you can't diagnose it by a blood test, but it's very interesting because adrenal fatigue is very, it doesn't cost a lot of money to treat, you know, they do it off of, you know, nutrition and herbs and vitamins and whatnot. And yet, you can't diagnose depression from a blood test either, but they accept that term depression, right? And, you know, a bottle of Prozac, or, you know, Zoloft cost the healthcare system how much money? Like, I think like what, $700-$800 a bottle for 30 days. Yeah, you pay $20, but, you know, healthcare is being charged a whole lot more. So, I just want you to be, you know, to just really consider that and know that, you know, the Bible's powerful. It's super powerful. And when we're feeling depressed, you know, are we sinning? Are we thinking about coveting? Are we depressed with our circumstances because we're not where we thought we should have been? We're depressed because we don't have what he or she has. Or we're depressed because, you know, we made plans for our lives, you know, and God didn't will those plans for us, so we're depressed, right? If we go back to the Word of God, we can fight depression with God's Word and God's guidance. If we go to the Word of God, why are you anxious, you know? Didn't you see how God rebuked the storm? He wasn't even worried about it when he was on the boat, because it's faith in Jesus, and Jesus is so powerful and so beautiful. And if we can, you know, have a relationship with Jesus, I think the depression lifts, right? Because we learn how to utilize biblical affirmations. We learn the Word of God. We learn how to, you know, deal with, you know, afflictions, you know, when we feel anxious or nervous, we learn how to do that. And so I just wanted to share that with you. Also, I wanted to say too, that when I, you know, was severely depressed, a couple years ago, I mean, I was severely depressed. And I will say this to you, I was the type of person that would listen to very depressing music. And I think that we as a society have grown really numb to what we're exposing our minds to, right? I mean, you listen to the radio, and I'm not telling people to stop listening to the radio or to stop watching TV. What I'm just asking or just pointing out is to be mindful of the words, because I'm sure there's good TV programs out there, right? I'm sure there's good songs out there, right? I'm not saying that everything is bad. What I'm saying is to just for a moment, when you have a song on the radio that just comes on some station, be mindful of what the lyrics are that are repeating, being repeated over and over and over to you. I'm asking you to be mindful of what it is you're receiving, right? Because a lot of times we'll like songs and we'll like music, right? And we don't even really know what we're receiving, what lyrics we're coming into agreement with. And I just want to point that out, because for someone who's trying to change their lives and, you know, fight depression or, you know, change bad habits, if you are exposing your mind, whether visual, by hearing, by something you're hearing, by visual, by, you know, things you're saying, you're exposing your mind to society will romanticize sin, right? It will romanticize sin, right? And it's really, really important that if you're feeling sad, the last thing you want to do is listen to sad music. And I know I could probably name like five of the most saddest songs that you could possibly dwell in, right? And you don't want to listen to sad music when you're sad. If you're sad, you want to listen to motivation. If you're sad, you want to listen to, you know, sermons on YouTube, or, you know, your church's sermons from the past. If you're sad, you want to listen to the Word of God. If you're sad, you want to be encouraged. If you're sad, you do not want to be listening to negative music, okay? If you, you know, have issues with anger, you don't want to listen to music that is promoting anger and violence. If you're, you know, trying to, you know, stop, you know, drinking, you don't want to listen to music that's romanticizing the party scene or the club scene, okay? Because if you're exposing your mind to it on a continual basis, it's like, you know, they say you go to the barber shop and you hang out around the barber shop, you're going to get a haircut, okay? Everybody knows that saying, right? So I just want people to just be mindful of what you're exposing your mind to, because, you know, it's the world that we live in. I was just recently, I think last year, I had YouTube on, right? Because I don't listen, I mean, I don't watch TV, and I had YouTube on while I was taking a shower, and a random song came up, and it was a young teenager that I think my cousin's daughter listens to. She was like a, I don't know, like a pop star, right? And I'm in there, and I'm stuck in the shower, so I could not turn it off. And the song was saying, talking about, and this is geared towards teenage girls, about her selling her soul to the devil and how she's going to get in trouble. And I mean, this is the kind of lyrics that are being sent to youth in a lot of terms. Like, there's a lot of, you know, symbolism and just very upsetting if you know, you know, symbolism and stuff that is coming out of the music industry. And so what I'm just saying is, don't stop listening to the radio, right? You don't have to stop watching TV. I'm just saying, just being mindful and just paying more attention to what it is you're exposing your mind to. And if you're at the gym, be mindful of the lyrics that you're letting repeat in your head over and over. I know you like the beat. I know it's fun, you know. I know it helps you push a little harder on the treadmill or lift that weight a little bit, you know, heavier weight, you know. But be mindful of what it is repeating over and over and over again, because I think that that can too change how we think, and it can also make us feel, you know, angry or depressed or, you know, anxious or whatever. So just being mindful of what we're exposing our mind to. I think the Word of God is the most powerful, most beautiful thing. I think Jesus Christ is the most beautiful. I love Jesus Christ, and I'm a big promoter of Jesus Christ, and I just wanted to share that because I think that we're coming into a time right now where, you know, inflation is hitting, you know, the cost of living. I don't know if you've checked recently, but I have. California, just the rents are outrageous. It's getting worse. You know, you got the stock market is uneasy right now, you know, and I saw like in the news that they're trying to raise state taxes again to fight the, you know, $1 trillion debt. I mean, times are getting more and more stressful. You know, it's getting more and more difficult. I think people are growing more and more hard and more shut down because of the world, you know. There's more and more violence. I mean, I went to a grocery store or the Walgreens, and I just missed a robber, a couple kids robbing the store, running out, you know? And then 2 days ago in my city, they had streets blocked off because of some home invasion. Like, it's getting worse and worse, I feel. And we really, really need to cling to the Word of God. We really need to just have these biblical affirmations. We really, really need, I think, to... Jesus is just so needed right now. He's so needed. He's always been needed, but a relationship with him is going to be a safety net, a lifesaver. He saves people, and I just really, really am concerned with the way things are going, and I really just want to encourage people to please, you know, if you feel depressed, just think about it. You know, what is it? You know, are you coveting? Are you ungrateful? Are you wanting things, you know, that you don't have? Are you dwelling on the past? Are you dwelling on things you can't change? Are you dwelling on guilt? You know, because Jesus helps you walk through all of that. And the Word of God is so powerful and so beautiful. And I just wanted to share that with you. Thanks.